Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on Friday, July 22nd. The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313. My name is Jackie Balestra, and I'm sitting in today as host for a missing Joe Terry, and I appreciate all of you tuning in. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and I can't imagine a better place to do just that. Now, you can learn more about the show on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show, or visit our website at www.thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what it's all about here on the South Bay Show. And while we would normally have a guest co-host, that's not the case this morning. I'm on my own, so we're going to get right to it. Our guest this morning is Samantha Prinz, Director of Outreach and Enrollment for Hallstrom Academy, located in Manhattan Beach. Now, Samantha is a South Bay native who earned her teaching credentials at Loyola Marymount. Her passion for education continued as she managed a local tutoring company, Study Hut Tutoring. She pursued her career in education and received her MED from Vanderbilt University in International Education Policy and Management. Now, while in Nashville, Samantha worked as the Special Projects Manager for the Tennessee Department of Education. Upon her return to California, she fell in love with the one-on-one model Hallstrom Academy offered to students. Samantha has been working at Hallstrom Academy since 2015 and is dedicated to supporting students as they advance through their academic careers. Now, this morning, we're going to learn a little bit about Samantha's background, Hallstrom Academy, and the programs they offer. Welcome to the program, Samantha. I'm so glad you could join me this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, right at the top, I have to say, I really appreciate having the opportunity to speak with an educator. It's one of the most noble professions, teaching. And right off the top, I'm going to let you know, I'm what you'd call a perpetual student. I've taken classes literally my entire life. I've never not studied anything. So I always get the I always appreciate, you know, getting the chance to talk to somebody in your position and learn some. So before we go any further, let's hear about you. You're a South Bay gal, right? So where did you grow up and go to school? Where did you grow up and go to school?
I grew up in North Redondo on the border of Manhattan and Redondo Beach, and I was a Costa kid. So I'm born and raised South Bay girl.
Costa kid, yeah. Costa is the there are not a lot of high schools in that part of town. Right? I mean, I know that Torrance has a couple, but there's Redondo Union, right? And there's Costa.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so if you El Segundo has their high school.
That's true.
Yeah, but if you live in Manhattan, Redondo, or Hermosa, and you're going into high school, you have the choice of which school you want to go to, right?
Not entirely. The Hermosa kids get to choose between Redondo and MiraCosta. The North Redondo kids generally have to get a permit to go to MiraCosta. They don't necessarily just get to choose. So.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Do you keep up with what's going on locally as far as the, you know, the schools and stuff? I know that Hermosa is in a situation right now where they need more. They need another school. Are you familiar with any of that?
Not that familiar.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. They recently had a measure on the ballot, something about, you know what? I don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to skip it. All right. So you grew up in the South Bay. You went to school in the South Bay. You went out into the world, Tennessee, right? The other side of the country.
Yes.
How different was that? How different was that experience from going to school here?
It was so different. I was probably the only Southern California, maybe even the only Californian in my entire program. And so it was definitely, I was the different breed of the group, which was something that was new to me. You know, everyone's very conservative. The dress is different. You can't walk around in your flip-flops all the time.
Yeah, they have what they call winter back there.
yes. I was my friends will forever remember this. I had no idea what to do with winter. When my windshield froze over, I called my dad and I said, "I don't know what to do." And he goes, "Well, don't you have an ice scraper?" And I said, "No, we're from Southern California. Why would I have an ice scraper?" So my roommate snapped a picture of me and sent it to all of our friends of me on the phone with my dad and scraping off ice off of my car with my credit card and said, "This is what Southern California looks like."
Oh, my goodness. That's hysterical. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it was a great experience. Probably two of the best years of my life. I learned a lot. I got to see a lot. And it was fantastic.
You know, I always find that interesting. most of my friends, their kids, actually, I just ran into somebody in the supermarket yesterday. Her youngest child just graduated college. So most of my friends, their kids are out of or just out of college. And mm-hmm. I always find the process interesting. I'd like to hear your process, your parents. When a kid grows up here in Southern California, a lot of people say it's good for them to go to school elsewhere. I mean, we have no shortage of great schools in California. But a lot of people believe it's in the kid's best interest to go someplace else, get a different perspective. For a lot of aspects of it. You mentioned the weather. That's one thing, you know, but,
yes.
But the whole culture is completely different, particularly going
completely
back east.
Different.
I mean, yeah, the Midwest has their culture, the South has their culture, the East Coast has their culture. Into a little bit more about that? Like, did your parents push you to do that, or was that something you wanted to do?
Well, they very much wanted to keep me here. They grew up in Southern California as well. So, you know, my mom grew up in Torrance and my dad grew up in Lakewood and everyone, my whole family is here. So it's kind of like you don't really move outside of that, which is one of the reasons why I went to LMU for my undergraduate degree. And one of my biggest regrets was not going out of state somewhere for school. So I would take that stance. And so when I applied to grad school, I didn't apply to anywhere in California. And it was a great experience. So I would definitely be on the side of pushing kids to get out there and really research colleges and find out what you do like. And because I know I've seen time and time again kids who are just like, "Oh, I'm just going to go to UCLA or UC Santa Barbara," which are great schools. But I just really encourage kids to research and find out what truly fits them and to experience something new, because that's all part of growing up and getting to know who you are.
Yeah, yes, it absolutely is. And I agree with you. And I know there's a lot of parents out there that think the same way, but you know, so there's a good side to it, right? I mean, you get to go out and experience something, but on the other hand, for parents, there is a little bit of a downside, because sometimes those kids don't come home. You know,
yes.
they like living in Boston or Chicago or New York, or, you know, they like it, and they decide after school that they're going to stay there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's yeah. I have a couple of friends that are in that position right now. You know, they wanted their kids to leave the nest and try something different, and they did, and they went out there, and they loved it, and now the parents are sitting there going, they're not coming home.
Well, then they get to go visit. So, you know, once the grandkids come, they can move back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I find that you know, fascinating how that happens. What made you want to come back? After a couple of years in Tennessee, what made you want to come back?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I definitely thought I was going to stay. And a couple of things made me want to come back. My cousin was getting engaged, and, you know, I just started realizing that I would start to miss, you know, my cousin's kids getting born, and, you know, I would miss family events, and I would miss, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the number two is the weather. I am such a Southern California girl. From January mm-hmm. to March, my dad was like, you know what, call me when it's warmer, because I think you need some vitamin D. So, you know, I'm definitely a beach kid, and that's something that I really missed as well. But I would love to have a house in Nashville and a house here and be able to go back and forth between the two.
That, you know, that's funny you mentioned Nashville. I went to the dentist yesterday, and when mm-hmm. I went to check in, their old receptionist, the receptionist that was there for years, she left several years ago, and she was in town visiting from Nashville.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
her and her husband moved to Nashville. They had a couple of kids. They live there. They love it. But her family's here. So she was back in town visiting and just happened to stop by the dentist office while I was there. So I got to see her. And I asked her, I said, how was Nashville? She said, hot, humid, and buggy.
That's pretty accurate. It's actually a very growing city. I think the last time I was there, which was a couple of weeks ago, the mayor had quoted that there are 85 people per day moving to Nashville.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a booming city right now. It's great.
Do you know the reason behind that? Is it becoming like a tech center or something?
I know a couple of things. It's the music industry is there, obviously. It's really picking up. It's just one of those towns where I think more of the millennials aren't moving to the big cities like LA and New York and Chicago because it's not affordable anymore. And so I think kids are more moving to cities like Austin and Nashville and Pittsburgh and Denver and starting to kind of make more of a life for themselves where they can afford it. So I think that's part of it. And then I know it's, you know, kind of the epicenter for change in education right now. They're part of them, Memphis and New Orleans are a big part of the charter school movement right now. So that's another reason that people are kind of going over there. And they also have a ton of universities there. I think they have like six all within, you know, the Nashville radius, which is awesome.
Wow. Well, you see, I'm mm-hmm. learning something new. I'm learning something new again. I didn't know that. Yeah, you know, the bigger established, what they call A cities, the pricing has just gotten mm-hmm. insane. I mean, you can't afford to mm-hmm. live there anymore, especially when you're right. starting out. Now, speaking of starting out, how long have you been teaching?
I actually haven't necessarily taught in a classroom. I got my teaching credential and I did my student teaching, but then right after that was 2010, which when everyone was pink slipping teachers. I think that year alone, Torrance Unified pink slipped 8 teachers just among their high schools. So it was difficult to get a job teaching when mm-hmm. when I was actually ready to go. And so I started working for a tutoring center, and I realized that I really liked the administration side of it, and I really liked the management side of it. So from then on out, I decided that I would do more administration.
That's interesting. That's interesting. You know, I have a friend that was directly affected by those layoffs. I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember that happening. That's interesting. So you were planning to go out and teach, and the environment wasn't happening at that time for you to go out and do that. And so you veered right or left, and you went into the administrative end of it. That's very interesting. All right. So, Hallstrom Academy. First off, how did you learn about Hallstrom?
You know, I came back and I was just doing my job search, and I came across it. And so I started researching it, and I started getting into really the research of what's behind the one-on-one model. And I really liked it. So, you know, I was interviewing at a couple of different places. And when I interviewed with my now boss, I fell in love and was like, this is really great. And there are so many reasons that I keep seeing of how it works and why it works for certain kids. So that's kind of how I ended up there.
That's interesting. You know, I had never heard of Hallstrom. I live here in the South Bay. I've lived here for a long time. I'd never heard of it. Explain to us how Hallstrom, and this is an accredited academy. I didn't know anything about it. I went online, I looked it up, and very, very interesting. Explain to us how Hallstrom functions as a school.
Yeah, so it's all one teacher, one student. So the kids will have their set teachers per class. So for math, they'll have, let's say, Dolores for math class every day. They'll have Nelson for history every day. And so the sessions are each 50 minutes. And it's really flexible, so we can get through so much material with 50 minutes and just one student. So the kids can kind of go at their own pace and set their schedules as they see fit. So, for example, we have a lot of actors and we have a lot of athletes. We have a kid who came down from Canada to play with the Junior Kings and needed to be on the hockey rink all the time. So he came in and did his classes and then went on to the hockey rink. And the days that he couldn't be there, he would Skype in and from the ice rink and have his class with his teacher in a private room. And I know that works for a lot of actors, too, when they're on set. So it's all one-on-one. And when the kids are on campus, they're required to do study hall hours. So they'll go to their teacher, they'll have their lesson, and then they'll have their classwork that they have to do with the study hall teacher, and they'll get it done. And then they have their tests as normal, and that's it.
Yeah, I find this fascinating because I don't think you'd call it a tutoring service. It's something completely different from that. Right?
Yeah, it has a similar feel, which is why I think I was attracted to it, since I worked at a tutoring company for a very long time. It has a very similar feel. But when you see our curriculum is all mapped out and it's WASC accredited and it's, you know, NCAA accredited and UCA 3G accredited. So our curriculum is a very nicely laid out roadmap that aligns with all of the other schools. It's just the kids basically get to go more in depth with it, or they can take longer with it if it takes them a longer time to do it. And we do pair it sometimes with students. We pair it with tutoring with their teacher. So if they're not, like, math just isn't their subject, maybe they'll have an extra hour with their teacher just to go over all of the topics that they covered in the previous session. So it's got a similar feel, but it's definitely school.
Yeah, it's not, most when you think of tutoring, you're thinking of a kid going to a regular school, you know, 8 to 3 every day. And if they're having trouble in a particular subject, you know, their parents will engage a tutor to help them get over the hump and go forward. Right. This is something, I find completely unique. It's right in between.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Was there a model for this, or the founders of it, did they come up with it, or are there a lot of other institutions like this?
Well, the founders of this, Hallstrom has been around for 30 years. It started down in San Diego, and we just finished our third school year here in Manhattan Beach. So they started it 30 years ago. The only other institution that I know that does something like this is called Fusion Academy, where they have a very similar model. And we get, you know, questions all the time about the difference between the two, and it's very similar. So it's a new thing, but I think that alternative schools like this are a big movement and something that we need to start looking at as the public schools start failing certain kids. For example, we have a ton of kids who have dyslexia, and so, you know, it's very difficult for them to sit in a classroom of 30 kids and look at words and really not understand what they're even supposed to be doing. So we have the ability to kind of alter things like that so that the kids, you know, either we read it to them or we come up with different ideas how to test them that doesn't necessarily involve having to read certain directions or, you know, just there are a variety of different things that we have the ability to do that public.
Well, public schools in general, the state of the public school education is, you know, it's been a big topic for a long time. And as you said, a lot of children are being left behind because it's so rigid. I find this absolutely fascinating. And you said that it's kind of a movement now. You know, homeschooling has gotten more and more popular over the last, you know, 15 years or so, maybe more, I'm not sure. I guess because people realized that public schools were failing their children and they needed to take matters into their own hands. So this is another option. And I really find it fascinating how this functions. It's interesting. You mentioned athletes and actors and, you know, particularly kids with maybe some learning disabilities. Are you getting, I don't want to call, regular kids? Are you getting regular kids that...
Absolutely. We get a lot of kids who, like you said, the homeschool movement is big as well. We get a lot of kids who come to us and really like that model, a little bit more independent, but more of a one-on-one atmosphere. And they'll come to us because their parents are like, if I'm working from home and I don't get him or her out today, they stay at home all day long by themselves. So
yeah,
we're a good mix for those types of students who still want the social aspect and want to go on field trips and want to have prom and want to have a graduation, but still want that one-on-one attention. We just had a girl graduate who went to Santa Monica High School and then transferred to us because she just wanted a smaller school environment and just absolutely loved it. So, and we do offer honors and AP classes. So we also get those students who want to fit in extra AP classes. We just had a senior graduate with a 4.5 GPA because she took so many AP classes. And is now going to UC San Diego. So we definitely get a big mix of students.
What happened to 4.0? I don't even know what 4.5 is. What happened to 4.0?
4.0 is now, it's the bar set 4.0, very 4.0 high now.
4.0 is no longer good enough. You have to have above 4.0. I'm still in the 4.0 mindset. 4.5. Wow. Okay, that brings me to the next question. Is this a regular academic year, similar to other schools, or is it year round? Does it shorten the? You do middle school and high school, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, is it a traditional school year, or because of the nature of the learning, are kids do they get through it in a shorter time?
So it's a little bit of both. We have a set school year and a school year calendar. That being said, we do have open enrollment. So we get a lot of kids who maybe come around report card time or progress report time in October or, you know, whenever that rolls around. We have a lot of kids who maybe got sick for 3 months and missed 3 months of school, and now there's no way they can catch up. So maybe they come in November and they start a little bit later and end a little bit later. Or if they, you know, want to go at a faster pace, they can start in November and still end at the end of June with all of the other kids. And we do get a big influx of kids over the summer. Our enrollment shoots through the roof because we get a lot of MiraCosta students coming to us over the summer to take an extra course so that they can, you know, get history out of the way because they're playing so many sports and then they need to fit in band and then they have to fit in all of the honors and APs that they have going on during the year. So it's kind of just nonstop, but we do have a set school year.
Wow. And yet you still have, even though this is one-on-one instruction, you still have the campus. You still have the social aspects of school.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, has been requested from parents year in, year out. You know, we really want, like, the social aspect of it. So, you know, we do, like, a back-to-school night with, you know, and we do a college night. We do field trips twice a year. So we just went to, this past year, we took all of the kids to iFly in Universal Studios with the indoor skydiving. And so they did that and had a big physics lesson with it. We have done a prom for the past couple of years. And our graduation ceremony is really nice. They pick a big banquet area and make it really a special event for the kids.
This sounds amazing. You know, my husband went to Chadwick. You're familiar
okay.
with Chadwick up on the hill? Yeah.
Yep.
But back when he went there, Chadwick was the school that kids went to when they couldn't anyplace else. He called it interesting. Yeah. No. Back in the day, it was like the kids that got thrown out of school, you know, kids that had issues learning. He has called it on occasion. It used to be like the bad kids, what they call the bad kids school, where the bad kids ended up. He had
he had
a graduating class. I think there were 12 people in his graduating class.
Oh, wow.
They had to field the whole school to get a football team together. You know, because it's first through high school, and they had to get kids from all the grades just to field a football team. But Chadwick, as we all know, has evolved into, you know, one of these schools to go to. It's really interesting how that evolved. But Hallstrom is coming at it from a completely different direction. So speaking of, this is another thing I found interesting for what Hallstrom is offering. Your pricing seems very reasonable compared specifically to Chadwick. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So pricing works. It's per student. So basically when parents come in to me, I, you know, take into account any 504 plans, IEPs. I talk to the student, really find out what they're struggling with or what they want to excel in. And I basically build them a package. So there's no set price, but because, you know, AP classes are more, honors classes are more. I sometimes for kids I will build in tutoring every day because I already know that they're going to need it, stuff like that. So it's really different dependent on the student. Usually the middle schoolers probably run around a little above 25,000, and then the high schoolers will run, you know, 28,000. Or closer to 30 maybe, but we're pretty comparable. I've done my research with the private schools in the area. We're pretty comparable to them.
Yeah, no, you are. I know that for a fact. And we have a lot of friends whose kids went to local private schools, and it is comparable. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break right now.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody, it's time for a short station and commercial break. I'm Jackie Balestra, and you're listening to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, and we're speaking with Samantha Prinz. She's the Director of Outreach and Enrollment for Hallstrom Academy, located in Manhattan Beach. Now, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, if you have a question or a comment, you can give us a call at 714-242, and now I have to thank a sponsor. This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday. All right, we're back with Samantha Prinz. She's the Director of Outreach and Enrollment for Hallstrom Academy in Manhattan Beach. And Samantha, can we talk a little bit? I understand that you're on the administrative side, but you sound like you've got your finger on the pulse of what's going on. All right, you're meeting with these kids and the parents when they come in. I've always found it fascinating how kids learn. As I said, you know, I've been studying Italian for the last 13 years. All right. And sometimes I'll do a semester, a private lesson, and other times I'll switch over and go to a group lesson. And I find that they each offer, you know, there's pros and cons to each of them. And by doing that, I've seen how different people learn. Now, most of the people I take lessons with are adults. We get the occasional young person, but they're mostly adults. Some people learn by listening. You know, other people learn by seeing something, and other people learn by doing.
Right.
What's your experience with that?
Well, first of all of our kids come in and, you know, each kid is totally different. And so the first session that they sit down with their teacher, they fill out a learning contract, basically, where they talk with their teacher and their teacher really gets to know them. You know, are you a visual learner? Are you an auditory learner? Are you a kinesthetic learner? You know, what has really worked for you in the past? And they really talk about those things so that each semester the teacher can tailor their curriculum and their lesson plan to their student so that their student is really maximizing their time, and they're really understanding the material in the best way possible. And for middle schoolers and high schoolers, that's really important for them to recognize how they learn and to really think about that, because once they go to college, they're entirely on their own. So,
they just
flop in there. And I think it's really great, and it teaches the kids a lot of time management skills as well. But yeah, kids are all over the board in those. I think more so visual I see than I do see with auditory and kinesthetic learners. But, you know, we have – our campus is actually really cool. We have – all of our walls have idea paint on them, so the teachers can write all over the walls, and the students can do so as well when they're teaching. So it's really cool.
That was my next question. Do kids know that? When they first come to you, do you ask them or do testing or something to figure out how they learn? Are children aware – more importantly, are their parents aware – of what kind of learner a child is?
Most of the time, no. Our teachers are pretty good at asking probing questions that, you know, aren't necessarily just, are you a visual learner, an auditory learner, or a kinesthetic learner? It's kind of more like, well, how do you memorize things? Or do you understand it a lot better when I write on the board or if I speak to you? Those kinds of things. And so they start to learn who they really are academically as they go through the program. Some parents are very in tune with their kids, and it's usually the parents that are forced to be at a very young age because the student has an IEP or a 504 plan, and, you know, from day one they were struggling in school. Those are typically the parents that have been forced to really figure out their kid. But, you know, a lot of kids progress at different speeds, and then all of a sudden come high school, when it gets harder, the parents are like, okay, there's something that, you know, we're not getting, we're not teaching them properly. And we get a lot of those parents that come in and say, we need help.
Yeah. Because that's not something that I think most people think about, how you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Not what you learn, but the method, the most efficient method for you to learn.
Right.
It's so interesting because I just learned that about myself when I started studying Italian. You know, I would find when we're doing reading out loud in class, you know, we all have our books. And if I just listen to somebody else reading, I'm not getting the comprehension I would if I'm reading it as they're speaking it. You know
right.
what I mean? Like I it's better for me personally to read it as opposed to listening to it. You know, so
yeah,
I'm
the same way. I'm a total visual learner. Even when friends read text messages to me, I'm like, no, I need to see it.
Yeah. It's interesting. And again, a lot of parents might be in the dark about that. They might not realize, you know, never mind learning disabilities, right? Never mind if you have somebody that's dyslexic or they have ADHD or various other things. Just knowing how your kid learns is an important thing. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times a 504 plan. What is that?
So a 504 plan is basically a learning plan. So not necessarily a student with a learning disability, which most of the time those kids get an IEP, which is like a detailed, thick binder of, observations and what really needs to happen in order to make the student successful. A 504 plan is basically a lesser version of that and just kind of a plan to help the student succeed. So, for example, students that need to sit in the front of the classroom because maybe they are ADHD or students who need longer time on their tests. Generally, in order to get those accommodations, the school district needs to go through a process and evaluate the student in order to give them that identified learning plan.
That is so interesting to me. That's really interesting. And we're so fortunate that this is actually happening? Because this is fairly new, isn't it?
No, it's been around for
in the history of education. I mean, it's fairly new.
I think as we learn more and more about you know, special needs for education, it's becoming more prevalent. It's definitely been around for a while. I guess in the big history, the big grand scheme of things, it's newer. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole the public school system in general, they just want to pigeonhole everybody. They think everybody is on the same learning curve. They, you know, and the testing and as I said, we've seen how that's failing a lot of our children. You know what? We have a caller. So let me see who this is. This is 9822. Who's this?
Hi, Jackie.
Is this Joe Terry?
Hi, Jack. Yes, it is.
How are you? I just saw that you called in, so you have a break in the action there, huh?
Yes, we're waiting, and this is such a fascinating subject. I'm really excited.
Isn't it? Isn't it? Did you have some Samantha? This is our host, Joe Terry, calling in, checking up on me. Joe, do you have any questions for Samantha?
Well, it's just that, Samantha got into a little bit of the history of Hallstrom Academy, but this one-on-one teaching method, I don't find it to be relatively new, even 30 years old. I find this to be ancient as Plato and Aristocrates.
Aristocrates, yeah.
Aristotle and
you
Plato.
You just made a, what do you call that when you do a... Brangelina, you just did Aristocrates.
Well, I was thinking of Aristophanes. I mean, the whole Greek system of teaching was a basic mentor-mentee kind of relationship thing. I find this fascinating.
Yeah, and somewhere along the line, we got away from that, right?
When you have 30 kids in a classroom, or my God, 40 kids in a classroom, you certainly can't do it that way.
You know, that's interesting. I just recently read David and Goliath, Malcolm Gladwell. Samantha, are you familiar with Malcolm Gladwell? He wrote Outliers and what was the other one, Joe?
Yeah.
Tipping Point.
Tipping Point, yeah. So I just finished reading David and Goliath, and he actually makes a very good argument about the larger classroom size. He talks throughout the book about how everybody assumes a smaller classroom size is better for the children, but there has been study after study after study after study done, and there is no proof of that.
Yeah, there have been a lot of studies that have been done that have shown that it doesn't make as big of a difference. And there are multiple schools internationally who don't follow that protocol. In Asia, they can have classroom sizes of 60 plus, and they still somehow make it work. So I don't know if it's as much of an issue of class size versus individualized instruction.
Interesting.
So is this a situation where, I always thrived in the classroom environment because I thrived on the competition. But, of course, afterwards, I could have a one-on-one with the teacher or in a study hall, I could have a one-on-one with the teacher. So there was additional time besides the classroom to engage with the teacher. And that was valuable.
Go ahead.
That's definitely very prominent at our school, and which is why a lot of the kids will stay there and get extra help from their teacher if necessary. However, in this sort of setting where it's not only one-on-one, but then they work with a study hall teacher afterwards independently, we find that the students generally don't need that much more help. And if they do, that's generally when we build in tutoring into their day with their teacher.
So, Samantha, is this all on campus, or do teachers go to individuals' homes?
It's all on campus. However, we do have the option for students to do this online. So it's a little bit harder with science labs, but for some students, it's just not possible to come to school. You know, whether they're ill or whether they're on set all the time. We have one of the Disney stars coming to us who, you know, literally cannot get off set. And so he will just Skype in his classes, and they do, you know, a screen share so that they can both see the presentation. And so that is an option for them to do it off campus.
Interesting, interesting. So you said that Hallstrom has been around for 30 years. Is this one in Manhattan Beach the first one, or are there Hallstrom Academies all over the place?
We have 15 Hallstrom Academies, all in California. I think they're thinking about expanding, but for right now we're just in California. There are 6 in the LA region. We have an Orange County region, a San Diego region, and then a Bay Area region.
Okay, so just in California. Now, is there something specific about California that lends itself well to this type of education, or are other states not they won't go for it, or how does that work?
Not necessarily. We do want to expand eventually, but we started out as a kind of a mom and pop sort of model, and then about 5 years ago, investors came in and said, "We love this idea. We want to invest in it, and we want to grow it." So that's where we've had a lot of expansion within the past 5 years. And moving forward, it just takes a lot of time to get all of the various accreditation per state. So
yeah.
That's the big issue, and it's something that takes a very long time, and it's tedious. And so although we have all the California accreditations, going through and doing that process for other states just takes a while.
So where in California did it begin?
In Carlsbad.
Carlsbad. Now, why did it start in Carlsbad? Are there a lot of athletes and actors living there that you found that there was a need for this? Why Carlsbad?
To be honest, I really couldn't tell you. I actually have no idea, and it's something I should probably ask.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I expected you to say something like Beverly Hills or Hollywood, you know, or something like that, where there would obviously be more of a need for something like this. And how long have you been in Manhattan Beach?
We just finished our third school year.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so
that's
pretty
interesting.
New, pretty new.
So how? Well, you may not be able to answer this, but how do you decide where the need is for the type of program that Hallstrom offers? I would imagine there's some big, long list of things you go through when you're looking at different cities.
That I actually don't know entirely. I know we look at a lot of affluent areas that, you know, may have more need for the athletes and the actors. But really, I feel that there are a lot of places that could really benefit from this type of learning. So I think they're just going to, you know, keep expanding.
Wow. Yeah, you know, again, back to the state of education in this country, you know, for decades, the public school system with budget cuts and they're cutting, you know, the arts and the music and phys ed and getting down to just really basic stuff, right? Right, Joe? I mean, you know a little bit about more about this than I do, right?
Well, one thing that comes to mind, Samantha, is that there are some amazing schools throughout Los Angeles. And in particular, I'm thinking of K. Anthony Academy in Inglewood that cater to an entirely different student body, different in that they're less affluent. But, of course, they still need an excellent education, and they accept nothing less but total, you know, sort of commitment from the students and from the parents. And if you don't have that level of commitment, you don't go to K. Anthony. But that's because they want excellence across the board. How would you say something like Hallstrom Academy can be replicated in an environment where the kids and the parents are committed, they will do anything they have to, but they just don't have the resources to commit financially?
Yeah, we've had a couple of students come through us to do so. We've had a couple of students who have gone through LAUSD and have, you know, maybe gotten funding. It happens very rarely, but we have had some students who have gotten funding to pay for Hallstrom because they were not able to meet their needs in their current public school. We also work with a company called Tuition Solutions that helps parents who may not necessarily be able to pay for this, but really need this type of education. And going forward, I think in the long run, we would love to do something more along those lines. We just haven't gotten there yet. I know I personally would love to do something with, you know, less affluent areas and, you know, just a more diverse demographic. It's just hasn't been in the cards quite yet.
I see.
Interesting.
This is very,
very
exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even aware of this, Joe. Were you?
I was not aware of Hallstrom Academy, and I have to say, despite JB's experience of you know, a few years ago, I don't think Chadwick thinks of themselves as a school of bad kids.
No. It's evolved from that. This was back in the day.
Yeah.
This was
back in the day.
Way back in the day. No. Chadwick has an amazing reputation now. But and it was interesting how he ended up there. It wasn't him. It was his brother. His brother had learning issues and was not cutting it. It was not cutting it in either public or other private schools. And so his parents decided his brother had to go there, and they wanted him to go with him. They're only a year apart. So that's the reason why JB ended up there. It wasn't him. He wasn't the one having issues learning. It was his brother. But the parents wanted them to be together. As I said, it's pretty funny, though, because over the years, you know, when we get together with friends, they'd say, our daughter just got into Chadwick. And we're like, really? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, did you know JB went there? And they're like, really? You went to Chadwick? And they were like, yeah. And, of course, then they start thinking, oh, my God, I didn't know that. I would have got a letter of recommendation from you and all this other stuff. And then JB goes on to scare the pants off them with the stories he tells them when he was there.
Right.
Now,
also, Samantha, I'm also intrigued by, you know, there are so many areas of technology and society where there could be enhanced learning at the middle school and high school level. For instance, do you guys teach computer science at Hallstrom Academy?
We do. And I know that in the works right now with our curriculum department is potentially a robotics class, because that's something that we get constant questions about. So we do have that. And then all of our kids work on the iPad. So all of their books are on the iPad. Most of their worksheets and everything are, you know, pen to paper. But we do incorporate a lot of technology.
I've always wanted to teach kids how to, like, create mobile applications, because I think that having that fundamental skill, their creativity and just their age and their peer group would generate and develop such exciting things.
Yeah.
You know, that's fascinating. And then, of course, you know, the whole, you know, social media, virtual reality. There are so many fundamental technologies that are coming out. This Pokemon Go thing is just the tip of the iceberg.
I do think in education we're going to start to see. I know education tends to be a little bit behind the trend when it comes to technology, but I do think within the next 5 years, education is going to look entirely different from you know, the paper and pen model that we've seen for so many decades.
Right. I mean, Jackie, literally, you know, talking to students in a room and then saying, okay, put your headsets on. Let's go look at the Parthenon. Let's touch it. Let's go look at,
Yeah. I get it. It's a brave new world.
Yeah.
It's a brave new world. No, this has been fascinating. Every day on this show, I learn something new and, you know, I'm learning about Hallstrom Academy again. Great information, Samantha, and gosh, you've answered all of our questions.
Good.
Wonderful.
We're gonna start wrapping this up. Samantha, can you give us contact information, website address? You know, how people, if they want to learn more about Hallstrom Academy, how they get in touch with you?
Yeah, definitely. So I can be reached via phone or email to set up an appointment for anyone who would want to come and see the campus and learn more about Hallstrom. My direct line is 424-738-1119. And my email address is sprins, S-P-R-I-N-S, at futures.edu. And we're actually going to be having an open house in August, on August 12th from 10 to 12. So anyone who wants to come in and possibly check us out for the fall is more than welcome to come.
Oh, that's big. That's big. Where is the campus located locally?
It's on Rosecrans in the big white building across from the ArcLight Theater. So we're in the Murad building. I'm sure that's basically how everyone knows where we are. So we're on the first floor of that building, and it's got a really nice courtyard outside the kids go do work in. So come check us out.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're situated in a commercial building. So so kids are actually.
I think that's the Continental Development Building, right?
It is, and it works out really well because the way the school is structured, we need like really small classrooms for that one-on-one learning model. So the way that office buildings are set up with offices individually works out really well for our classrooms. And then we have a big open space in the middle for kids to do work in the study hall. And so it's a really cool setup. We're really excited about it.
I think that's interesting. I think that gives kids a whole different outlook or experience on the world, mm-hmm. where they see mm-hmm. people going into work every day. You know, they're yeah. doing their thing, and yet they're seeing how the real world functions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this has been really, really informative. Love learning about all the. I always love learning about all the great things there are in the South Bay. You know, such as Hallstrom Academy.
Right.
That's what we do here, Samantha. We bring this stuff to people's attention, including our own. Yeah. So Samantha Prinz, you're the director of outreach and enrollment for Hallstrom Academy in Manhattan Beach. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, and really quickly, website again, one more time, Samantha?
HallstromAcademy.org.
Okay, so if anybody's interested, if they've got a kid that can use this specific type of program. You're having an open house, again, August 12th, you said?
Yes.
August 12th from 10 to 12,
yep.
10 a.m. to noon. And you can go and you can check out the campus, check out what they offer. Again, thank you so much, Samantha. Joe, glad
yes.
to hear from you. Glad you could make it.
Thank you, Jackie.
All right. And Sarah's in our thoughts and prayers. I'm going to keep my fingers that everything runs smoothly. That's our show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to tune in next week.